Samuel Johnson once said, "The chains of a habit are generally too small to be felt until they're too strong to be broken." And that's the way addiction works. It starts out very subtly, very small, and you can't even feel it until it's too difficult and too hard to break free. So that's what we do here. I believe what Paul said in Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So that's what we promote at Teen Challenge. And I'd like to introduce you to a few people here. And the first one, many of you already know, Mr. Bill, come on up here. Let's give a hand for Mr. Bill. It doesn't matter necessarily how we're brought up, even if we're in the church at times, we can get off track, we can wander away. And Teen Challenge is a safe environment. We're not necessarily a rehabilitation program or a mission, or we're an ark of safety. And we want men that are hurting to come into our facility and experience the presence of God. I mean, that's, to me, that is the apex of the gospel, the presence of God, entering into the inner sanctum, into the Holy of Holies, and really feeling the presence of God. And Bill came to us, and I'll never forget the day when you came. And we had an interview. Stuart and Mr. Dale came, and we talked, and you really wanted to change. And I believe that's where an individual needs to be before change can really manifest in their life. They have to want it. There are a lot of people that need it, but they just don't get it because they don't want it. So Bill really wanted it, and many people know a lot of the personal details of your life, and I'm not asking you really to share that. But Bill came in, and I'm a promoter that love always wins. Love takes many different shapes and forms, but nevertheless, love always wins, whether it manifests itself in front of us here on earth, but it'll win in heaven. Amen. Love always wins. So Bill came to us, and we've just loved on you.
You sure have.
It's
big time.
Teen Challenge is called the Love Boat. We just love on them, and we guide them and show them in the right direction. And I remember, Bill, the condition when you came to us, it was
pretty bad,
and with the shakes and all that, and the medications and everything. Mm-hmm. And so just share a little bit with your, this is your family. Church family, so you don't have anything to be afraid of, and I'll stand here right next to you. Just share a little bit about.
Pick me up if I fall down.
I'll pick you up.
Thank you for having us here this morning. As you know, my name is Bill. Most of you know my history, but just share a little bit. My wife passed away 13 years ago, left me with four children, and I kind of started a spiral downhill at that point. I started mixing medications with alcohol. To make a long story short, I became a drunk. And at probably a couple months ago, I was at my worst. I was staying drunk just about every day of the week. And I knew I had to change. I wanted God to use me. I knew he had spared my life through all these accidents and the drinking. I mean, I should be dead, seriously. And I'm not. So I knew God had a plan for me. And a good friend of mine, Dale Dukes, called me up, and with the prayers of the Schrock family and other people in the community, family, I ended up at Teen Challenge. And I'm so grateful that there was a place, like Pastor Bob said, it's a safe place. You don't have to be afraid. People love on you. It doesn't matter what your addiction is, what your circumstances are. They all love you. All of our brothers here love us. We love each other. And I'm so grateful to God that he spared my life so I could be here. I want God to use me in a powerful way. And this year, I've given up my whole life. I'm selling my house, selling my car, all my personal belongings. I want God to use me, and I covet your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Stay right here. I found out that this man of God knows how to play the electric piano. So maybe next year when we're here, he'll be up there. And God has just put the whole praise band together. Everybody that has that you heard today has gone through the program, and or is going through the program. And I just praise God for that. Now pray with me that that God would send me a drunk violinist. I want a drunk Amen. Violinist to Got say the for the piano, for the glory of God. So anyway, thank you, Bill. God bless you. Gavin? Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Pastor Bob.
I get the pleasure of seeing these guys when they come in. And I'm telling you, when you see them months later, and even during class, it's not required, he wears a tie. He is feeling good on the inside, and it's manifesting on the outside. And Gavin, just share a little bit about your past and where you're at today.
Well, you figure, about, I'd say 5 months ago, I went downhill. I lost a $60,000 a year job. I lost a 5-year relationship. I took my car to the scrapyard just to get drugs. And only by the grace of God that I'm standing here talking to you today, and Jesus Christ in my life every day is the way to go. And I just love all my brothers at Teen Challenge, Pastor Bob, and everyone that has prayed for me. And I thank everyone that comes to the center and feeds us, because I've gained almost 40 pounds now. So that's good, you know. But I love everyone, and I love Jesus the most. And praise God.
Amen. Stay right here. I don't know what it is about Cannon Mennonite cooking, but all the guys look forward to Cannon Mennonite cooking when it comes here. So thank you for that. Just share briefly what happened when you went to court the other day, and somebody came up to you.
Yeah, they asked if we were in the ministry. And I said, well, yeah, we're in Del Marva Teen Challenge. And just the glow from us is something that people recognize. And it's to God, not only from God, that I'm this way now. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you.
Greg, while you're making your way up here, we've gone to over 60,000 houses this year, or last year. We have a walkathon door-to-door witnessing team that goes from Wilmington all down through the state of Delaware into Salisbury, Cambridge, Easton. And we just knock on doors and share our testimony and let people know that there is a resource available called Teen Challenge, if they know of somebody or have a friend or a family member. And I'm telling you, we have really made an impact doing that out in the community. I can say when we get back from Jamaica, everything's been approved. We are breaking ground on our education building. And once that gets up, that's going to provide classroom space for what we talked about the last time, which is a full-blown women's center here in Delaware. And that's going to be right here in Seaford, in the Seaford area. And I believe that God is going to bless that. My brother is a federal officer up in Dover, and he says there's no long-term residential programs for adult women. And there's a lot of women out there that are hurting. And my wife and I want to be used of God to be able to provide one of those safe houses, that safe environment for that. I worked up in Michigan for 16 years up there in a men's and women's facility, and we had 35 to 50 women there constantly. So there is a need, and we want to provide that. And I know there's many of you in this congregation that have been praying for that. You've contacted me, you've emailed me, and said, when is it going to happen? Well, it's got to happen in sequence. And once we get the classroom space, we've got probably about 18 to 20 churches that want to come alongside and get that thing up and going. So we praise God for that. Greg? This is one of my friends that I met in Michigan when I was the assistant director up at the training program up there. And Greg, I think we met maybe 8 or 9 years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, six.
6 years ago, okay. Greg went through the program up there and just is in love with Jesus. He's a man of God. And just like Bill, you know, we're as the song says, we're prone to wander. Amen? All of us are. We are all imperfect people serving a perfect Savior. And we are prone to wander. And when that happens, bad things can happen. But Greg was used mightily of the Lord up in Michigan at different levels of supervision up there with the men. And we network with that facility up there, and we send each other people. And Greg was very familiar with that area, and his family's up there, his mom, dad, and everybody. So Pastor Jeff Bonzalar thought it would be good for him to come down here and get an oil change. And so he did that, and Greg, just share a little bit about what's going on.
Okay. All right. Just want to thank Pastor Bob because he's been there for me, mentored me, and just been there. He's a rock, man of God. Appreciate you. I guess I just want to share about how you know, God brought me to a place of responsibility. He brought me up out of nothing. You know, I was a dropout in junior high, and I was pretty much just trashed on drugs until I was about 22. And I got saved when I was 22, reading a Bible in a treatment center. That was 03, and I came to Life Challenge shortly after that. I got mixed up in like a little in a Christian cult ministry that led me astray from the Lord and the Fellowship of Believers. So I came to Teen Challenge the first time, and I worked there several years. I was promoted there, and I was sent to one of their new centers in Flint, and I was given the responsibility as kind of second in charge there. And during that time, I began to listen to that radio cult ministry a little bit again. I wasn't intending on getting trapped into that again. I was just kind of interested a little. And I got pulled into that somewhat again at a time of my life when I was under a lot of responsibility and new stress. I was in a new city, and I needed to really make connections with the people of God and, you know, begin to build my life up spiritually so that I could, you know, continue on in the ministry. But I was sidetracked by my own decision and listening to this radio broadcast. I isolated myself at a time when I needed people the most. And I ended up falling morally during that time. And so I left the ministry. That was back in August. And went way up north just to try to get back on my feet myself. I was still kind of deceived. And during that time, I you know, got away from the radio ministry, but I was having a hard time just getting plugged into the local church up there. You know, why, I don't know. You know, probably didn't belong there. I was just kind of running. And just had a hard time getting plugged back in. I began to drink a little bit, and then I went and got drugs one time, and I said, you know, I just need to, you know, go to where I know I can really get focused on the Lord. And, you know, now I'm here, and God is just providing a time for me to, you know, consecrate my life to Him in prayer and in the Word, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for a second chance, and I don't want to waste any more time. I don't want to reap the consequences of disobedience anymore and waste time and find, you know, when I could be productive and what I lost, you know, perhaps I could regain that, you know. I don't know. But, you know, bless the Lord, I got another chance, and he's got new things for me. And, you know, perhaps I lost out on some things, but he's got things for me still. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brett. Thank you. It's a tremendous amount of pressure when you are active and involved in the church and or full-time ministry, and then there's a fall from grace. The devil is, we know he owns the fence, and he just loves to condemn and to beat somebody up. And Greg, you didn't lose anything. And God's going to restore you, and you're going to be rock solid. You're going to be rock solid, and then he will give you direction, whether it's back up to Michigan or here with us. I personally, publicly, want to say I hope he stays with us, because I know the man's character, and I know how much he loves Jesus. But God's got a good plan for your life, and thank you for sharing that. Elliot, come on up. I love this guy, too. Elliot, where do you come from?
Where do I come from?
Yeah, what state?
Oh, Pennsylvania, sorry.
Pennsylvania, okay. How old are you?
20 years old.
20 years old. And did you grow up in the church?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And you came to us how long ago?
It's going on 3 months.
3 months. And what was going on in your life 3 months ago?
I was kicked out of my house. I was struggling with a heroin addiction. I was just going from house to house to live and survive, and it got old. And I remember saying a prayer at my friend's house one time. I was on the couch late at night, and I said, God, if you're out there, just give me a reason to live and just give me a sign or something. And I got a phone call that night, the house phone at the friend's house I was staying at. Luckily, my parents knew the number of where I was at. And they told me about this program, and I surrendered. I put my hands up, and I wanted to come to this program. I was sick of my old life and my ways. I've been to 3 different rehabs. I surrendered completely. And this program is awesome. It's changed my life. I don't ever want to go back. I say I'm hooked to the plow for life, and I love Jesus. He's the way, he's the light, he's everything. And let's see here. You know, it's such a blessing to know that I can come to a church with you guys. I mean, I've never played a bass guitar in my life, and I've been praying that I could join the praise band, and, you know, good things happen, and it's just such a blessing to be up there and play to you guys. So, amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Elliot. Todd, come on up here. I love this guy. I wasn't planning on bringing him up, but Elliot reminded me, you know, about the whole music thing. And Todd, you have a similar story, and why don't you just share a little bit with us?
I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, originally, and like Elliot, I was addicted to heroin, and I struggled with it for 10 years, in and out of detox 10 times, so that's an average of once a year, and I was saved as a kid, and I knew that I had to get it together at some point, and I would always tell myself, you know, I'll get it together by the time I'm 30, and then I'll be good. But I became homeless. I was a thief. I was an angry man. I stayed under a bridge. I stayed outside for 2 months in the wintertime, hiding from my family, just very shameful. You know, just like Elliot said, on survival mode. And I needed drugs to live. I physically was sick. And you know, the enemy used that, and he had his hooks in. And no matter what I tried in my own power, I couldn't get them out. And so I sat in jail, and my dad came to a visit, and he had said, you know, this will be the first time and the last time I'll come to see you in jail, because my dad held me accountable in my life. Mom was more so an addict herself, so I always ran to her because she let me do whatever I wanted. And so I was very selfish, and Dad said, this is it, you know, you want help or not? And I said, yeah, I do. And I was tired, and oddly enough, or amazingly enough, I started reading the Bible in jail, and my dad found Delmarva Teen Challenge. And I come in, and I had a huge beard from being homeless and sitting in jail, just looking a mess. And from the moment I walked in the door, I felt loved. I felt this is it. I mean, this is a fresh start. And I didn't know anything about worship and what it meant to truly surrender to Jesus. And at Delmarva Teen Challenge, I got to learn what that really meant. No matter the circumstances around me, I can trust in him. I can go to him. And, you know, just many different lessons. I could talk on and on. I've been at Delmarva Teen Challenge for 2 years now. I celebrated 2 years. One, you know, it was great. The first year I had to be there. The second year I chose to be there. And it's been a joy. Both years have been a joy. Never played an instrument ever in my life. My mom could dance, and so I always had some rhythm. I could dance. And, you know, so I had rhythm. And Evan came, and Mike was there when I first got there. And, you know, God has just brought us together, brotherhood, to just praise the Lord. It's not about our talents and what we can do. It's to give him all the glory. And all of us standing up there, we were a mess. Our life was a mess, and it's only because of Jesus. And went on a missions trip last year to Jamaica. Couldn't believe I was going on a missions trip a year later from being homeless. And on the way up to the airport, we're driving to Philadelphia. We drove under the overpass that I used to sleep under. And I looked out the window, and it was like, thank you, God. And it was one of those moments where, you know, the Holy Spirit is just moving in my life, and I continue to pray for, you know, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be on fire for God. And, you know, I don't want to ever go back. And, you know, I had a homeless beard. Now I'm working on my Jesus beard. So.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, I've never told my testimony as church, and I'm not going to do it this morning, but it's a lot like these guys. You really didn't know that, did you? It's a lot like these guys. One of these days, I'll tell you the story. As I'm sitting here, I'm remembering a word a good friend of mine gave when we were in Kentucky together. This feels more comfortable and familiar to me, actually, up here. In one of the Lord of the Rings films, Frodo goes into the cave of a spider and gets caught. He gets stung and he gets wrapped up in a cocoon. And his friend Sam comes to find him and thinks he's dead. Sees him wrapped up and says, it's too late. We're too late. Then come these evil creatures and Sam hides in the brush. And he hears them talking. And they're discussing what this spider is going to do with Frodo. And they say, the one says, he's not dead. She's just stung him. He's in a coma. She's going to take him somewhere else to eat him. And Sam's going, oh, he's not dead. He's not dead. My buddy Graham stood up in church on a Sunday morning and he said, some of you, you've been stung by the enemy, you've been wrapped up, and you're so cold, you're blue. And even you've given up hope. But even the demons know there's life in you yet. Even the demons know. Dennis, why don't you come on up and transition us to prayer? I want to have you guys pray for us this morning. Join the ministry team, because I'm a firm believer that what God does for one, he'll do through that one for another.
I want to read a scripture for you. This is from Exodus 34. It's about Moses going up to the mountain for the second time to get the tablets. And so he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, and this is what the Lord said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin. I read a lot of weird stuff, sometimes just to stretch my head. And I read something once in physics. I don't understand physics, so I'm not going to pretend I do. But there's this thing that takes place. I'll explain it this way. If you take a water molecule, it's made up of two hydrogen, one oxygen molecules. And if you hit it with energy and separate the molecules, so you have hydrogen, hydrogen, oxygen. If two of these atoms get, if they're from the same source, like a water droplet, if you bombard the one hydrogen atom with energy, with heat, with electricity, the other one moves, even though they're separated. Okay? What's that got to do with anything? If we are connected to the Father, and He is a God of loving kindness, who forgives and forgives and forgives, and He's the God of second chances, and if we hear, pray, and repent, and surrender, we affect things in the heavenlies, and they affect other things. Without us being there, without us touching them, they are affected by the Father. Okay, when I was sitting there, this is a word from the Lord. It goes along with what Tim was saying. The Lord says today, there's a thing of secret sin. It is time to give up secret sin. If you have secret sin, get up here and get rid of it. If you are affected by secret sin through friends or family, get up here. Pray for them. Let the Lord touch that secret sin. Guess what? Your secret sin ain't so secret. Guess that. Thank you. Time to pray. Amen.